Welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. My name is Matt Harrington. I am your host, and we are going to be talking all about ABA research. In this podcast, we break down one ABA research article per episode, taking out the key findings for you so that on your morning commute or on your way into work, you can become a better behavior analyst. Now, let's get to the show. Hello, my friends. My name is Matt. This is the Behaviorist Book Club. We're talking all about supervision this month, and we are actually continuing a topic. Maybe don't call it a part two. Don't call it a comeback, if you will, but we are going to talk about burnout again. And now we talked about burnout yesterday, or I guess 2 days ago. So this is Friday's episode. That was Wednesday's episode. So we talked about burnout last time as it relates to turnover. We talked about a recent article, I think it was Law and Colleagues 2024, and it was all about what causes BCBAs to turn over and go to a new job. And I want you to remember those topics closely. If you haven't listened to it, you should. It's the one right below this one. I got a little bit heated in hindsight, maybe a little bit too heated, but we'll worry about that another day. But the reasons why folks were turning over, one of the big ones, I think it was like 70%, was that folks were burnt out. And I think that ignoring that is a massive mistake. So this article, hopefully we will not ignore it. We will actually pay attention and learn a little bit about from this pretty extensive survey. This article, Austin and Fisk 2023, evaluating the relationship between compassion, perceived supervisor support, and burnout among ABA staff behavior analysis in practice. So, once again, why did I put this type of article into the supervision column? Spoiler alert, your supervisees become supervisors, and those supervisors get freaking burnout. I know it because I was a supervisor who got burnt out. The supervisor who trained me was also burnt out, and I bet that their supervisor above them was also burnt out. And to be totally honest, burnout is, it's so frustrating to me. It's so frustrating because I feel like it's such a, God, it's so commonplace now that it's almost expected. And I think when things become expected like that, it becomes abnormal if you're not burnt out. Like, I remember I think it was my first telehealth job, and I was talking to one of the other BCBAs, and they had been at that job for 10 years. They had a ton of experience, and they just had the most unbothered vibe to them. They were calm, they logged on, they did their supervision, they visited their clients, they did good ABA. I took over some of their cases. They were a good supervisor. And the only thing they ever talked about was their kids and their families and the trips they were taking. And I remember I asked them one time, I was stressing out about a couple authorizations that I had to do, and I was struggling to get everything done on time, and I was having a bad day as a new BCBA. And they took me aside, gave me some advice, but I remember above all, their advice was good, but above all, I remember thinking, like, how do you do it? Like, why are you so unbothered? And I almost took it personally. I was like, do you not care? Because I freaking care. Like, I know that I care. And even now, like, I care deeply about what I do. Do you not? Like, do you just not care? Is that what's going on? Are you not burnt out because you don't care enough? And the reality was totally different, right? That person cared just as much, if not more, than me. But they had some distance, right? They had some coping skills. They had some context that I didn't have. They probably had things in their life that happened that shaped up a learning history that I could never understand and will never understand ever. But I left that job because of some reasons that aren't worth getting into. And they're still there. And I talk to them every now and then, and they're doing great. They're living life. They're having fun with their family. And I often wonder if I could have been that way too, if I had stuck it out, or if I should have. And I don't have a good answer. It's a hard question to answer. But I think that early on, I was jealous, and that jealous turned to ego. I'm burnt out because I care so much, and you don't care enough, and you're not burnt out. And that is a million times the wrong way to think about all of this stuff. I encourage you, if you find a BCBA who is not burnt out, who loves their job and is happy to continue going, follow them. Do what they do. Copy them. Emulate their behaviors, because odds are they are going to get you to a place more than anything else that you're actually going to be content and satisfied with the work that you're doing. preamble out of the way, we all know that burnout is, of course, rampant among direct care and certified behavior and analysts. The effects are serious. I feel like this has been gone over so many times, it's not even worth saying. Lower treatment fidelity, higher turnover, inconsistent services, client outcomes end up sucking because they can't get a consistent BCBA. Full stop, there's the problem right there. Prior research shows that social support, training quality, and especially supervisor support can start to buffer burnout, right? So supervisor, not just from an RBT to a BCBA perspective, but maybe a BCBA to a clinical director. In that podcast where we just had talked to, it was a Monday or Wednesday, I talked about the reality of finding a new job. Where should you go? Should you go to the place with the higher pay? Should you go to the place with the better services? Pick the pay that works for your family, get a realistic range, and then follow the leader who is going to support you the most. That is what this article is mentioning. The good thing about this article is rather than me just saying that, this article actually backs it up with numbers. So the study's purpose, measure burnout levels across tons of different ABA roles, test whether BCBA compassion predicts lower burnout, and examine if supervisor support or the experience of supervisor support, perceived supervisor support, mediates that relationship. The idea that they're looking at in simple terms is a more compassionate BCBA, somebody who cares more, cares deeper, really worries about their clients. Is that going to lead to more burnout? And can we stop that with supervisor support? Can somebody like that BCBA who was older than me come in and say, hey, Matt, I know you care. It's good that you care. Take a breath. Here's the support you need. Here's my perspective, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Matt turns out to be less burnt out because he had perceived he perceived that there was supervisor support coming from his supervisor. What's the relationship? 1,400 professionals participated, RBTs, BCBAs, related service providers, variety of locations. They used a couple different survey tools. This was not like a social validity, like rank 1 through 5. There were some pretty solid tools from a burnout inventory, an 8-item modified scale, a relational compassion scale. There's some pretty good stuff in there. Online survey analyzed with tons of statistical analyses. If you listen to any of my old podcasts, you know how I feel about stats. I love and hate them. I love to see them. I love to read them. I love to see the data that it gives us and the insights that it gives us. I despise doing them myself. I'm not a statistics person. I never will be. It was the only B I ever got in college. Freaking statistics. So love to see them. Hate to use them. But it's important that they're here. So what are the findings? Let's talk about burnout rates. BCBA showed significantly higher burnout rates than technicians and classroom assistants. This was a big surprise for me. I did not expect BCBAs to be more burnt out than RBTs. I think it was a podcast a little bit ago that I said something like 40% of RBTs are burnt out was in that study. And I predicted that 20% to 25% of BCBAs would be burnt out by that number. But the relation is actually different. More BCBAs than RBTs are burnt out. And I'm not exactly sure. In my experience, I don't have a good explanation for why, just anecdotally, not talking about statistics. I think that when it comes to the BCBA role, in my experience, the context switching that you have to do from client to client, right? It's not just Jim and John that you're worried about, but it's Jim, John, Jane, Joseph, and Jeremiah. And all of these different kids or adults that you're working with, they all have very unique needs. And to the caregiver, to the client, to that RBT, you are their only BCBA, but they are only 10% of your caseload. You see that kind of shift in dynamic? That's tough, right? Because they're expecting 100% from you because you're their 100%, but you already have given 100% 9 different times and all you're left with is 10%. And so it almost feels like as a BCBA that you have to give 100% 20 different times to really be successful. And that's really, really hard. I think that's where, for my personal struggles with the BCBA role and the burnout, that was probably where I felt it the most. It wasn't in the driving or the travel or the initial assessments or the paperwork. I actually never really minded behavior plans that much. It just wasn't that significant of a challenge. It was in feeling like I was giving 90% to one kid versus 100% to 10 kids at once. That was really tough for me. And maybe, thinking back at, maybe that's the supervisor support. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's keep going. 80 CEUs, $10 a month, 3 to 5 new CEUs being added every single month. Straightforward, simple. That's CEU Streamline. I created the Netflix of CEUs with all of not only my old content, but 3 to 5 new hours of CEUs being added every single month. Right now, we're at 85 videos and climbing more and more, with over 400 behavior analysts getting all the CEUs they could dream about for only $10 a month. So if you're interested, go ahead and go to behavioristbookclub.com and click the link that says Streamline Info, or check the link below this episode. I know that you will love it, and I guarantee you that you will get all the CEUs you need at, finally, an affordable price. The conversation. So correlations, right? What affected the other thing? Compassion, supervisor support, training, and organizational support were linked negatively to burnout and turnover. So the more supervisor support, training, organizational support, the better. However, more burnout, of course, was more intentionally. Burnout and turnover were closely related. Once again, indicating that if you have a lot of turnover, it's not just because your staff are all happen to be going out on a vacation the same day and not coming back. It's because they're burnt out, very likely. What were the top burnout predictors? Supervisor support, training satisfaction, and organizational support. If those were low, so bad support, no training, and low organizational support, congratulations, you're probably hitting burnout. Good thing, supervision support, training satisfaction, and organizational support are all things that are fixable. They are all things that can be managed, oftentimes without that much cash flow. I think a lot of times we get stuck in this mindset of, okay, if we're going to have this many things that we have to train, that means we need 5 new people, we need all this cash. A lot of things like organizational support, especially in the age of automations and tech, a lot of this can be done automatically. Organizational support, as an example, what is something that is frustrating to your BCBAs? I can tell you that when I was a BCBA, one thing that was extremely frustrating was the way that we did initial assessments. It was super annoying to have to, at one place, print out the initial assessment, fill it in by hand, hand it to the administrative assistant, scanned it into the client files. Only then could I go into the file, get the original copy back, download it, and then retype those notes into the initial assessment, like the actual thing I submitted to insurance. It was a ridiculous process, and there was a lot of steps to it, and it sucked. And it was a place where I did not feel supported. The solution? I don't know, use AI. Obviously, HIPAA compliance, make sure you're using the right tools. AI isn't magic, double check your work, et cetera, et cetera. But the amount of tech and automations we have right now to take tasks like that and have it be done via automations, AI, transcription services, all of those things are significant supportive factors from an organization. And oftentimes they cost like a $20 subscription. So I would encourage you, think on that, think on your organization, think on the tasks that your BCBAs have to do each day, and say how many of these actually don't have to be done by a BCBA and could be done by somebody totally different, hopefully an automated system. Another significant thing that they found, when supervision support was present, their hypothesis was right. Burnout was mediated. What that means is that when there was high compassion, burnout was tougher to get a hold on, right? Compassion led, more compassion without supervisor support led to burnout. Compassion with supervisor support actually led to the opposite, right? Retention and staff staying and serving their clients for longer. And the reason is because if you don't have the negative effects of burnout, a compassionate approach to ABA is amazing, right? Because think about it, the compassionate approach, in my opinion, makes you a better BCBA. right? Objectively speaking, if you're compassionate and empathetic, you're in this field for the right reasons, quote unquote, that means that you're going to care about your clients doing better. And if you have the supervisor support to ensure that your clients are improving and getting the outcomes that they want, the socially valid outcomes for that family and for that child, that's great. Someone less compassionate might not care as much, and suddenly they don't get those outcomes. But if you are compassionate and you have that support, then your clients are making outcomes. There's the reinforcement loop. Everybody is happy. Compassion is great. Just have the support to back it up. Key takeaways. Burnout, of course, is real. It is not some fluffy affirmesis or burnout is, of course, real. It's not some fluffy term used to scare away the objective definitions. It is an actual thing that we can track and measure and is correlated with actual behaviors that are occurring. Compassion also matters and is extremely helpful if it's supported by your supervisor. So ask yourself, do you want your BCBAs to be compassionate? Yes. Okay. Are you giving them the support to allow them to be compassionate? Because if not, then spoiler alert, they're not going to be compassionate or they're going to leave. You're going to be left with only the BCBAs who aren't compassionate because they were willing to stay. Okay, gross generalization there. I love to imagine that all BCBAs are compassionate, but that's just the facts that we're giving. Support must be perceived. I thought this was a really good takeaway that I wanted to chew on for a second. It's not about the support that's being provided, it's about the support that's being received. What does that mean? Support that's being provided, let's take my organizational support example, might be a new tool, right? Maybe it's a tool that every time you do an initial assessment, it writes the first draft of the treatment plan. If you don't think that exists, trust me, it already does, and it's getting pretty damn good. So if you're not checking out some of those AI tools, I would suggest you do it. So maybe that is the support that is being given. However, the system itself is buggy, slow, and it doesn't serve what the BCBA actually needs, and the BCBA hates using it. That support that's being given is not support that's being received. In fact, the opposite. It's an aversive that's being received. So when it comes to more fluffy topics, things that aren't as objective as giving a new AI program, such as hiring a clinic director to support with client outcomes, make sure that the person you hire understands that their role isn't just to take things and audit and say you're doing things wrong, but to provide support as needed to ensure that the outcomes are positive, hit all of those KPIs that we still care about, but ensure that the BCBAs are receiving the support and not just having it thrust on them. So those are the takeaways. This article, once again, was a little bit of a tougher read, but if you are a supervisor and you're supervising folks, not only does this tell you that your support is extremely crucial to the long-term health of your employees' career in the field, but if you are supervising a future behavior analyst, it's really important that they know this too, because they are going to leave your support and they are going to be thrust out onto their own. And if they don't have support that they're looking for, then they're going to lose it too. So that's what I got for you. I hope you have a great weekend and I will see you in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you learned something and I hope you continue to learn something as you tune in Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays to The Behaviorist Book Club. If you like this episode, consider leaving us a review, sharing it with a friend, and most importantly, using it in your clinical practice. There's no other reason why I do this than to make you a better behavior analyst and to make myself a better clinician. See you in the next one.